Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
How would you respond in the face of near certain death? It's almost impossible to know, but in the 1940s, a group of young Jewish women living in the ghettos of Poland reacted to Hitler's murderous campaign with unfathomable courage. Judy Battalion's book, The Light of Days, tells the story of women resistance fighters who smuggled weapons, assassinated Nazis, and sabotaged German supply lines. Some of those women survived, and I spoke with Judy about them when her book came out last April. Many people are familiar with the death camps where millions of Jews were murdered in the Holocaust, but your book focuses primarily on the resistance that happened inside the ghettos where many of the Jews were sent before they ever reached those camps. What was life like in the ghettos of Poland?
Oh, life in the ghettos of Poland was truly torturous. They were extremely, extremely crowded. You could have several families living in one room. People had no personal space at all. There was a real dearth of food. Many of the testimonies and memoirs I read speak of the horrible illnesses and lice. It was a very physically uncomfortable existence. People in the ghettos also had no information. They were not allowed radios. They were not allowed newspapers. So people lived in great fear.
So within that existence, how did these women organize a resistance?
Many of the women that I write about were part of organized groups before being ghettoized, and these youth movements were almost substitute families. So when Jews were ghettoized, they were with members of their youth movements. They were with their comrades, as they called them, their fellows, their peers. And so there were already strong connections and a sort of pre-existing social organization for the young Jews who I write about in my book. And a big role of the women in the underground was to disguise themselves as being non-Jewish, and at risk to their lives, they slipped in and out of ghettos and they obtained information. They connected the ghettos to each other. They called each other the radio. They were the communications. That was an early form of the underground work that they did.
They also smuggled weapons.
They smuggled weapons, ammunition. They smuggled dynamite in their undergarments. They smuggled fake IDs, money, medication. They smuggled people. They took people out of slave labor camps and ghettos and brought them to the forest.
It's just amazing that they were able to do what they did. And part of the reason I think they were successful is because they were women and because they were young. Is that right?
Absolutely. A big part of being able to be an underground operative was you had to leave the ghetto. And to do that, you had to pass as Catholic Poles. And this was easier for women in a number of respects. Women were not circumcised, so they didn't have a physical marker of their Jewishness on their bodies like men did. In Nazi-occupied Poland, the pants drop test was a thing. If someone suspected a man of being Jewish, they ordered him to drop his pants. And so women didn't have to be afraid of that as well. Women in the 1930s, when these women who I write about were growing up, school was mandatory. But often families sent their sons to Jewish schools, to private schools, and they sent their daughters to Polish public schools. And because of that, many women were more acculturated. They were more assimilated. They were familiar with Catholic customs, behaviors, gestures. And very important at the time, they spoke Polish. They always say in their memoir, like a Pole, not with, as they called it, the creaky Yiddish accent.
Wow.
And so they were much, much better able to disguise themselves.
Well, they had no military training. They didn't know how to use a gun for the most part, certainly not a grenade. And yet they learned. I want to read this passage from your book. It says, "Comrades produced brass knuckles and daggers, studied chemistry, and created bombs, grenades, and bottles filled with explosive materials. They used pipes, coal powder, and sugar. As their skills grew, their homemade bombs became better than the ones they bought." An important chapter in the book is about the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising in 1943. Tell me about that.
The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising is the largest urban uprising, certainly among the Jews, against the Nazis. It was organized by youth movements who finally came together. There were a number of different youth movements, and they had different priorities and different ideas about how to resist. But it ended up being about 750 young Jews, ages, I'd say about 17 through 25. About a third of them were women. And when the Nazis came to liquidate the Warsaw Ghetto, they fought back. They flung Molotov cocktails. They bombed tanks. Their women's stories of them, you know, climbing to a roof of a low-rise building in the ghetto and her hands shaking as she lights a match and starts flinging this explosive. And she hears the Germans crying in shock, "A Frau kämpft, a Frau kämpft, a woman is fighting." And these Jews kept off the Nazi liquidation. They pushed them back for some weeks.
How many did they kill?
That number, I don't know. You know, these were guerrilla groups working in utter secrecy. They didn't have files. So I don't know that number.
You know what? It almost doesn't matter, does it? Because at one point you describe the joy of revenge these people felt as intoxicating. And many of the women were shocked that they even survived.
They didn't expect to survive. They assumed they would be killed. How could they not be killed? They're fighting brigades and troops and tanks of Nazis. These are starving Jewish teenagers. They, in fact, did not make survival plans. This became actually a bit of an issue in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. They hadn't set up bunkers for themselves to go to. They didn't have food. They didn't have supplies. They assumed they were going to be killed.
It wasn't a total victory, though, was it? Because the retaliation from the Nazis was fierce.
After a couple of weeks, they burnt down the entire ghetto. And the Jews who weren't killed outright by Nazi gunfire were enveloped in fire. I mean, one of the fighters who I write about, Zivia Lebetkin, she was a leader in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. She said, we were prepared to fight Nazis. We weren't prepared to fight fire. And many of them simply choked to death. They died in the fire.
Throughout the course of the war, many of the women you wrote about died, but others survived and miraculously made it out of the country and eventually to what was then Palestine, now Israel. What became of them once the war ended?
Everyone dealt with their experience in a different way. Some people became involved as Holocaust teachers and educators and scholars and very involved in survivor communities, and others completely left their past, had to start afresh in order to move on.
Because they had guilt or trauma?
So many of the people I'm writing about, when the war ended, they were in their early 20s. They had the rest of their lives in front of them. They had missed what I was thinking of as their college years. That's what the war was. And now they were adults, and they'd lost their everything, their families, their time to train for a career even. And for some of them, the need to start afresh was a way of coping, a way of moving past that. And many of them felt, I write about women, and many of them felt a really almost a cosmic sense of duty to create a new generation of Jewish people. And they had children. And it was also very important for many of them to raise their children, to try to be happy and normal. And because of that, too, many of them left their pasts behind, or attempted to, for some decades.
This book is so well researched, and I know it took you a very long time to go from concept to publication. In that time, what did these women teach you as you got to know them through history, and what do they have to teach us about resistance?
These women taught me. I mean, these women, I feel very inspired by their bravado and their courage and their conviction. I've thought about this, and many, I've spoken to their families too, and I think many of them were women who had a great sense of instinct. They really trusted their gut. They were confident in their own sense. What my central character, Renya, her son told me in passing, sort of, you know, when she crossed the street, she wasn't someone who looked left and right and left. She just crossed the street. And I think a lot of these women were like that. They just crossed the street. They did what they had to do. They didn't second guess. I'm a second guesser. So I'm very drawn to those who can just cross the street.
Well, the book is just amazing. That's so, so enlightening. Judy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Judy Battalion's book is The Light of Days, The Untold Story of Women Resistance Fighters in Hitler's Ghettos.